If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. I know we have a couple people visiting today. God bless you and hope you receive a blessing. Thank you for sharing your Christmas with us. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this incredible story, the birth of Jesus the Savior, the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. And just are so grateful today that we can celebrate your birth and all that it means. And just, Lord, just may this be a special time as we center our focus, our thoughts upon you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you today about a baby that was more than a baby. The story is told that on a December day in 1903, after the Wright brothers were successful in getting their flying machine off the ground, they telegraphed a message to their sister Catherine that says, we have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. Well, Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. He glanced at it and said, how nice, the boys will be home for Christmas. He missed really the whole point, and that was that they had actually flown. Well, people today are so involved in partying and gift wrapping and attending dinners and many things that are associated with Christmas that we miss the real meaning of Christmas, that Jesus was born, and he is the reason that we celebrate the season. Turn with me to the book of Luke, if you would. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. As we begin this chapter, the emphasis is not on the birth of Jesus. That's not the big news. The taxation is the big news. Everybody is being taxed, and they had to make their way to their home city. And just like the editor in the newspaper missed the big news, and just like some people missed the big news about what Christmas is all about, in this particular chapter, even though the birth of the baby is to be the story of the ages, they missed the big news of Christmas. Only a handful of shepherds really heard the big news and knew what the day was all about. In fact, the year was 1809. The international scene was horrendous. Napoleon was sweeping through Austria. Blood was flowing freely. Nobody really cared then about babies. But the world was overlooking some very significant births. For example, on the English continent, William Gladstone was born that year. He was destined to become one of England's finest statesmen. That same year, Alfred Tennyson was born to an obscure minister and his wife. That child would grow up and greatly affect the literary world in a marked manner. On the American continent, Oliver Wendell Holmes was born in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Not far away in Boston, Edgar Allan Poe began his eventful, albeit tragic, life. It was also in that same year that a physician named Darwin and his wife named their child Charles Robert, in that same year produced the cries of a newborn infant in a rugged log cabin in a small place in Kentucky. The baby's name, Abraham Lincoln. What a year for babies. But the broadcast, if they had them at that time, I'm sure the words would have been, the destiny of the world is being shaped on an Austrian battlefield today. But really, history was being shaped in the cradles of England and America. When when Jesus was born, a young Jewish woman carried the biggest news of all. She cradled God Himself. She cradled the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in her arms. On that first Christmas night, the greatest birth in history was recorded. There has never been a baby born that has affected history and mankind as the baby that was born that night. There had been no birth like this birth. There will never be another birth like that one. The baby was born of a virgin. This was a birth as no other baby. In fact, in truth, this baby was more than a baby. Joseph was made aware that this baby was more than a baby when the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. You can imagine the events in Joseph's life at this time left him confused and perplexed. He's troubled. The girl that he is engaged to is pregnant. And he's wondering, what am I to do? How am I going to handle this situation? And the Bible says that while he thought on these things, verse 20, that he had a visit from a heavenly visitor that came to him and left no doubt, took away all his fears, and made him realize that the woman that he was espoused to was carrying more than a baby. Let's look at the news the angel brought to Joseph and see why this baby was more than a baby. First of all, the name of the baby. One of the things the angel of the Lord revealed to Joseph was the baby's name in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. This is Matthew 1. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So we see that this baby has an appointed name. When it comes to naming a baby, how many of you have had babies? Moms, dads? How did you name your baby? A lot of different factors go in to naming a baby. A poll on babyzone.com had asked parents how baby names were chosen. In their poll, they said that 21% chose a family name, 2% chose a name after a geographical location, 12% were guided by religion, 11% were guided by their nationality, and 33% simply by the parents' favorite choice. We just like this name. Read about a pregnant woman from Virginia who was involved in a car accident. And while she was in the hospital, she fell into a coma. And when she awoke days later, the woman noticed that she was no longer carrying her child and asked, "Doc, what happened to my baby?" And the doctor replied, "Ma'am, you've had twins. You're the proud mother of a handsome baby boy and a beautiful baby girl. Also, you should know that while you're in a coma, your brother named the children for you." "Oh, no," shrieked the woman, "not my brother. He's not really all together, if you know what I mean." And the doctor replied, "Well, ma'am, your brother named your daughter Denise." "Oh, that's not so bad," smiled the woman. Then hesitantly, she asked, "What's the boy's name?" The doctor grinned and said, "The nephew." As far as Joseph and Mary were concerned, they didn't have to name the child. Who knows what name they would have given that baby boy? The name, though, was chosen for them. God had picked out the name. The angel had come and told Joseph what the name would be. He was not chosen by Mary and Joseph. He didn't have the popular Jewish names of the day. He was divinely named. He had a heavenly father anyway. It was really the heavenly father's right and privilege to give Jesus his name. It's also an appropriate name. No baby was ever more appropriately named than Jesus. The J-E in Jesus stands for Jehovah. The S-U-S means Savior. So you put it together and you got Jehovah is Savior. Jesus saves. How fitting that he be called that. Because again, as verse 21 declares, he shall save his people from their sins. I love what C.J. Rowles said. He said, "The precious personality of Jesus, the Savior, stands out in history as more distinguished than any other dignitary, more prominent than any other potentate, more conspicuous than any other celebrity. As a name, Jesus is more grandly honored and more grievously hated, more acclaimed and more accused than any other. The most outstanding record that is given on the scroll of time is the date of his birth. And no issued document is legal, no signed check is valid, and no business receipt is of value unless it bears reference to this great historical event. The fame of his name lives on with ever-increasing renown. The memory of his loving kindness is undying in its attractive charm. Of all his names and titles, Jesus is the most charming, consoling, and comforting name by which our beloved Savior is known. Jesus is a joyous name which has awakened more gladness and promoted more rejoicing throughout the world than any other. He is greater than all he bestows, better than all his blessings, and lovelier than all his gifts he lavishes on his own. His riches are unsearchable, his virtues inestimable, and his glories indescribable." William Huss stated the name of Jesus was given to the Savior of mankind at his lowly birth, and though he was despised and rejected of men, yet that name stands for all that is most precious to God and should be most precious to all men. John Newton declared, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul and to the weary rest. Franklin Bedlin echoed the same sentiments when he said, "There's no other name like Jesus. 'Tis the dearest name we know. 'Tis the angel's joy in heaven. 'Tis the Christian's joy below. Sweet name, dear name. There's no other name like Jesus. Sweet name, dear name. There's no other name like Jesus." Why is the name Jesus so special to us? Because through his name, we have forgiveness of our sins. Somebody said, if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. Jesus, the name, identifies him as our Savior. Secondly, let's notice not only the name of this baby, but also the nature of this baby. Verse 23 of Matthew's account, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." What a miraculous conception. A virgin shall be with child. Again, this is no ordinary birth. A virgin is to conceive. Hundreds of years earlier, the prophet Isaiah had prophesied, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." This is to be a baby like no other, because this baby was to be virgin born. Larry King, who used to host the CNN talk show, was once asked who he would like to interview the most. If he could have his choice of interviewing anybody in history, who would he choose? He said, "Jesus Christ." And the questioner said, "And what would you like to ask him?" And King replied, "I would like to ask him if he was indeed virgin born." And he said, "The answer to that question would define history for me. Can I tell you that Jesus was virgin born?" And it did define all of history. Whether you believe in the virgin birth or not, it defines history. When Mary said, after finding out that she was going to have a child, she said, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel said, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." And even though some people doubt the virgin birth, let me tell you, with God, it was not impossible. It was possible, and it happened exactly as the angel declared it would happen. And although people doubt and some are skeptics, it's a fundamental truth that we hold dear by faith that Jesus was born of a virgin. And if he had not, he could not have been our Savior, because he would have been born with the sin nature, and when he would have died for his own sins instead of the sins of the world. There's a plaque marking Abraham's birth, Lincoln's birthplace in Kentucky. On this plaque is recorded a scrap of a conversation. And the conversation went like this: "Any news down to the village, Ensry?" "Well, Squire McLean's gone to Washington to see Madison swore in, and old Spellman tells me this Bonaparte fella has captured most of Spain. What's new out here, neighbor?" Nothing at all, except for a new baby born to Tom Lincoln's. Nothing ever happens out here." You know, and I think that the people of Bethlehem were probably thinking the same thing. Bethlehem is a small and insignificant place. Nothing happens in Bethlehem. Remember actually when Jesus' ministry got started, and they were trying to find out where he came from. and it was Nazareth. Nazareth. And some said, does anything good ever come out of Nazareth? Yeah, something good came out. Jesus came out. They had missed it. This was none other than God himself. This is Emmanuel. That's what they are to call his name, which means God with us. I am so glad today that he's named Jesus. He's named our Savior. He's come and he's taken my sins away and he's given me forgiveness. I'm glad today that he is also Emmanuel, that he is God with us. Think about that this morning. Just kind of let that soak into you today. God with us. God with you. That God would condescend and he would come and first of all, dwell among the people that he created. That the Word would become flesh and be born in a manger and live among those people. Even though when he came into his own received him not. But it wasn't just a one-time coming. It wasn't the physical sense, but Jesus continually comes. And he is born today in people's hearts, and he becomes Emmanuel. He becomes God with them. In fact, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is a God that is always with us. The birth of Jesus had a beginning, but it had a birth, but it had no beginning. It has no end. There was a moment when he became man, but he always was God and always will continue to be God. In Revelation, John says he was, he is, and he is to come. He is forever and ever. He is everlasting. But the birth of Jesus was God becoming man to dwell among us so that he could die for us. It was an act of condescending grace. It revealed God's great love for man and his desire to provide a way that man could be saved, that man could be set free from his sin. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. For 18 years, Dion Fossey, the California-born zoologist, worked with gorillas on the continent of Africa, working in the mountains located in the nation of Rwanda. Leaving life on one part of this world, she moved halfway around the world to the region of the gorillas and literally lived among them. She first began in 1963, and 4 years later, by 1967, actually the gorillas had come to accept her. Looking at the gorillas as deserving of her love, she identified with them, named them, cradled their babies, cried with them when they mourned their dead. She once wrote, "These powerful but shy and gentle animals accepted and responded to my attentions when I acted like a gorilla. So I learned to scratch and groom and beat my chest. I imitated my subjects' vocalizations, their hoots, their grunts, and their belches, munched their foliage, the foliage they ate, kept low to the ground, and deliberate in movement. After 18 years with the gorillas, it was home. She had made her home with them, she became like them and dwelt among them. They were her friends, and when faced with the danger of her mission, she would not leave. In 1985, she died among those that she lived with." Jesus did even more than that. But we have to realize that though he never gave up his divinity, though he never gave up his godhood, he took upon himself the form of a man. And he came and lived among us so that he could relate to us. And the Bible says that in all points he was tempted like we are. And so he knows the things that you experience. He knows the feelings that you have. He knows the joys. He knows the trials of life. That's why he can be Emmanuel. That's why he can be God with us. He can relate to us. But he came to live among us so that he could die for us. But the thing is that he was willing to even be crucified by the people that he came to save. Not only did his own not receive him, his own sent him to the cross, but still, in his great love, while hanging on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His whole mission was to come to seek and save those that were lost. His whole mission was to live up to the meaning of his name. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is the real meaning of Christmas, that God came down to heaven to live among us as one of us. He was born of a virgin that he might die a sinless man for mankind. The baby that was born on that first Christmas night was Jesus the Savior. He's also Emmanuel, God with us. And thirdly, we see not only the name and the nature of the baby, but also the need of the baby. I draw your attention to the statement in Matthew's gospel there, Matthew's account, verse 21, for he shall save his people from their sins. In other words, we see what Christmas is all about because we're reminded of the problem of sin. Man has a problem. All men have a problem. That problem is sin. The Bible states, for all have sinned. Every man has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Those three-letter word, that three-letter word in the middle of that, or in the beginning of that verse, are convicting for all of us. For all. A-L-L. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person born into this world has a sin problem. The seriousness of this sin causes separation between us and God. The holiness of God cannot allow sin in his presence. Furthermore, the holiness of God demands that sin also be punished. The soul that sins, it shall die. That punishment includes an eternal separation from God. In short, it's an eternity that is spent without God in a place called hell. There is a seriousness of this problem. There is a seriousness of the sin problem. We must never take it lightly. But also, there is the provision for sin. God became flesh. Jesus was born that he might save his people. That's what Christmas is all about. And if you separate that truth from Christmas, all you have is just another holiday. But Christmas is more than a holiday. Christmas is a holy day. Jesus was born that he might become our Savior. God became flesh that he might dwell among us. Why does he want to dwell among us? So that he can die for us. You might have heard that one of the familiarities of Christmas is the candy cane, the Christmas candy cane. According to legend, there was a candy maker who wanted to invent a candy that was a witness to Christ. The result was the candy cane. First of all, he used a hard candy because Christ is the rock of ages. The hard candy was shaped so that it would resemble either a J for Jesus or a shepherd's staff. He made it white to represent the purity of Christ. Finally, a red stripe was added to represent the blood Christ shed for the sins of the world, and three thinner red stripes were the stripes he received on our behalf when the Roman soldiers whipped him. Sometimes a green stripe is added as a reminder that Jesus is a gift from God. The flavor of the candy cane is peppermint, which is similar to hyssop. Hyssop is in the mint family and was used in the Old Testament for purification and sacrifice. Jesus is the pure Lamb of God, which came to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. See, that baby that was born that Christmas morning, that first Christmas morning, was far more than a baby. This was no ordinary baby. This was God himself, gift wrap from heaven to be the Savior who would one day die for our sins, making a way for us to receive salvation and forgiveness for our sins as well. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? If you're here today and you have never received Jesus, you have not asked him to be your Savior, you know, I could think of no better time than Christmas time. We refer to this experience as the new birth, to be born again. What a great time to let Jesus be born again in your heart, to give you life anew. He loves you so much. You're the reason that he came. You're the reason he was born. You're the reason he lived. You're the reason that he died. And he wants so much to have a relationship with you. He has done all that he can He's just waiting for you to say yes to him. Yes, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Yes, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sins. Yes, Jesus, I want you to be Emmanuel. I want you to be God with me for the rest of my life and even beyond. For all eternity, he'll be yours. He's done what he needed to do, and he's just asking you to take the next step and say, Jesus, will you come into my heart? Will you be born in my heart? Forgive me of my sins. I repent of them. Be my Savior this morning. Is there anybody here by a raised hand? Said, I'm asking Jesus to do that today. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything, but I want to give you the opportunity. I would be amiss without giving you the opportunity to be born again on Jesus' birthday. Is there anyone? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anybody here today? You've received the new birth, but you're not living for Jesus. See, he not only was born for you, he lived for you. He died for you. The very least that we can do is to live for him, is to give our lives to serve him so that others can experience this new birth and have a relationship with Jesus. Is there anyone here today? Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to rededicate my life to Christ today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I just want to pray for you right now. Father, I'm so grateful for your great love that you sent Jesus to be our Savior. Jesus, I'm so grateful to you that you accepted this mission. You accepted the name. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. You lived up to the meaning of that name. You became our Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you continue to live as Emmanuel, that you are God with us. And Lord, today, I'm also grateful for those that have raised their hand and are receiving you into their life as their Savior. And those that are rededicating their lives to you. What a great Christmas present for both you and them as they joyously surrender to you and serve you. Bless them richly this morning. And we just want to close with thanking you, Jesus, for that, for being that indescribable gift. How do we describe you? You are more than we ever dreamed of. We thank you for being our Savior today. We celebrate your birth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I just want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and just have a great rest of the day. Whatever your plans are, just be safe and happy and joyous with loved ones and with the one who loves you the most, your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you. You are dismissed.